Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Team of Voices Radio, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. We are a team of poets on allpoetry.com, and if you want to find us, you just get yourself a free account on a team of voices on All Poetry. Wander up the door, say hello to Deb, and get your way in, and then you'll be able to follow us on the boards and call in even and do your own poem. Which you can do on +1 646 668 2837. That's +1 646 668 2837. And we'd love you to come along and read some poetry with us. And along for the ride with me, I have Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing well tonight. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Yeah, good. But I have tried and now subsequently dismissed the latest cafe that has opened in our part of the world, Deb, unfortunately. So it's just down the road and it would have been very convenient if it was actually good. However, a couple of things. The first is if you're going to pay nigh on $20 for a bagel, Australian, you've got to be able to eat more than half of it. And I didn't, because it was too damn hot. It had chili sauce on them, which would have been nice to know about. The bagel eaten, so that's a bit of a waste. And then $9 for the apple juice. Now, it was freshly squeezed. I give it that. $9 for the apple juice. It was freshly squeezed. It did come with ice. However, it came with some friends, Deb. It wasn't just apple juice. It was green apple juice, and there were huge hunks of cucumber and celery. Cucumber and celery came along for the ride. And so when I started to drink it, I thought to myself, well, that is almost as sour as drinking lemon juice, maybe more. And to give you an idea of how sour it was, I went home and got some freshly squeezed orange juice, which is less than 8 grams of sugar per 100 grams. Put in 100 mil or 200 mil of 150 of that, and it was far sweeter. And that only started at less than 8 grams per 100 sugar. So Christ knows what this thing was. It might have been 3, 4, but it was sour. Man. And it tasted like cucumber. I'm not a big fan of cucumber juice. Apple juice, yes. Cucumber juice, not so much. So, anyways, you know, almost $30 later, I've still got half a cucumber and celery with some orange juice in it. And I've already thrown out half the bagel. So it wasn't exactly a great start.
Is it some kind of attempt at health food or something?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. Something like that. I don't know. If it was, it was too healthy for me, Deb. Yeah.
Sounds so gross.
Too healthy for me, and just not at all sweet or at all lacking in chili. So it wasn't a great start, Deb. You know, I think I'm pretty typical in terms of the people there. But there you go. Hello, 916. How are you going, Hatter?
Hey, I'm good. I'm okay. A little late.
I was just talking about a new cafe open near
Deb.
And talking to Deb about that new cafe, Hatter. Bagels. Now, you think you can't go wrong with bagels, except this one put a mile too much chili sauce on, so I couldn't finish it. And then ruined a perfectly good apple juice by putting a whole stack of cucumber and celery. So, yeah, was not successful in no way, shape, or form. I think it has a short life. Anyway. Anyway. The Porgy's is perfectly good, as you know, Hatter. And so that's my normal haunt, and, you know, for all good reasons, because it's a great cafe. And they do great coffee, apart from anything else.
Which one? The one in Hawthorne
Porgy,
there?
The one that was second home.
Yeah, the nice
one.
People. Those people were so kind.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Tom California says, hey.
Hatter, did you bring a poem for this week?
I'm looking for one right now. I didn't get anything
cool.
Finished,
I'm
looking for
one. Okay, no, it's all good. Well, while you are looking for one, I might put mine up on the board. And it's not evil or anything like that. It's just a straight-out rhyming poem. Hatter? It's a straight-out, sensible, rhyming poem. It's not even that long. It's only 3 stanzas. And so this is Pond Valleys by me, kick off, and it goes a little bit like this. On surging waters, the yacht skimmed, surfs between the currents, white foam. Sails are tightly winched while trimmed as it scales ways, valleys, then dunes. Heading towards sunset golden glow, orange yellow and tones light through, while surges build and into a whole throw, coloured streaks shape the sails askew. Gulls lazily seen circle above the mast, their arcing retorts no longer allowed, until left, but a faint ringing well past, and the crests of navy falling unbowed. End poem. See? No reversing, nothing, you know, clever, just straight AB rhyme. Deb, what did you think?
No, No magic.
Nah, straightforward, Patter. Straightforward. No, nothing going on. Not even a villanelle. No timing of bloody verses or anything else. So, and don't even need to educate people on how to do a villanelle because I tried that last time. Deb, what did you think of this one?
I like it. I think that all the descriptions in it are really cool. And I like that you wrote it to your painting. So you pulled aspects from that in there, like that yacht. Heading towards sunset's golden glow, orange, yellow, and tones light through. It's a perfect rhyming description of what we're seeing. So it's like a double treat. You see it, and then you see it in your mind's eye as well as you listen to you read the lines.
Thank you, Dick. And Hatter, what did you think? Can't even read it backwards. What sort of
It seems a little more abstract than you usually write.
A little.
But I
think that's fair to say, Hatter. And so is the picture, by the way. That's usually more, that's a whole heap more abstract than what I normally do. So sort of fitted with the theme a little. But I agree.
Fine
with you. It's a little more abstract. I agree with you. Okie dokie. Let us move on to the next poem. And I think we might do Jenny the Deep. Now, we've got one on the board, Deb, but I don't think we've got permission for that. Is that right?
As of right before the show, we still do not know.
Okay. And so just to explain, because there's been a number of new people come to the group in the last little bit, this is not something that we do because we're trying to stop people getting on the airwaves. It's something that we were told we had to do by All Poetry because it appears that there were people with shows that were not checking with writers before they actually put their poem on the show. And there was a huge jumping up and down, by as there should be. And what happened was that All Poetry basically said, well, stop, you know, you have to permission and show that you've got permission before you actually read a poem on any show. And so that can be permission for a single poem. It can be permission for a number of listed poems, or you can just give us permission in one go to use any of your poems. But we do need that written permission in email form, or we just get into trouble as we should. So now, Hatter, I have seen while I've been talking that you have a poem on the board.
Yeah, I threw a dart, and this is where it landed. So it's an old one.
Now, are you able to read this one, Hatter? This is an old one. This is from 10 years ago. Now, are you able to read
it? I've been coughing today, so I have to go on mute. So, yeah, could you read it?
Yeah, no, I can certainly read it. I can certainly read it, and I can hear you. You've got a bit of a rough voice, so that's why. Okay, so this is by Jay Hatter from exactly 10 years ago, The Journey, and it goes a little bit like this. To wander through a lifetime of non-sensible ways, a journey once travelled through my nights and her days. A soul displayed on her wall to read, whispering, please explain that to me. The reflections you wrote on my wall by chance, please tell me these stories of the shadows that dance. Yesterday's folded and stored away rhymes, colours the day when you were once mine. We flew to the moon. On celestial wings, holding each other's wishes and dreams, perfectly hung talons that dripped crimson red, tore through my soul from the things that you said. I travelled in time for the things once called mine, remembering that it was you, watching for signs that never quite rhyme, not knowing what to do. Bloody and cold, the passions so told, the answers are not what they seem. Lost and afraid, fearing to stay, losing by sharing a dream. The day came and went, my fortunes were spent. I stood here alone in the rain, whispering lines that came undefined. The shadows drove me insane. It's written in stone and never alone. I cover my eyes to see, searching the skies for a place to die, from a world that does not recognize me in poem.
Thank you, Hippie.
No, like that.
It's an old one.
No, very neat. Classic sort of Jay Hatter rhythm and rhyme. And this one goes quite dark, I mean, in terms of the day came and when my fortunes were spent, I stood alone here in the rain. There's something quite sort of pained and particularly about the world that doesn't recognise you. There's something very sad about that. Deb, what did you think of Hatter's poem?
You know, I remember this one. It was really emotional, and you read it yourself, Hatter, and it showed your voice when you read it that time. Like it is written in stone, and never alone I cover my eyes to see. But up in the third stanza, it's in quotes, the reflections you wrote on my wall by chance. Please tell me these stories of the shadows that dance. Why is it in quotes? That's you, right?
Yeah, but I was, at that time, I'm sure what I was thinking was quoting another person in the story would say. This is not me speaking, it was them speaking. So I'm not consistent with that. I don't think it speaks again. Uh-huh. Yeah, they don't speak again. So it was the other person talking.
It's an amazing couplet, and like I said, it's you, so I was trying to figure out why it was stood out as opposed to the other ones. But I have it on actually two lists.
Thank you. So do I write a lot different now? I mean, has it seemed 10 years?
Yeah.
Well, in a way, but it's still that Hatter rhyme shines through.
Yeah, I think you can see where it's been edited a little bit, the ending. No, I wasn't happy with the original.
Yeah, although I like the ending. I like the ending. I think the ending's got something. So I think if you edited it to that, you've done pretty well. So, I liked it. I liked it.
Okay.
You read it really well too.
Let us move on. And Deb, you chose one of the all-time classic poems today for me to read. Did you want to give us a few minutes or seconds on what you chose this poem for?
You know, I have a list of some of the classic poems that I thought were pretty awesome, and this is one of them. And it's because of the message, like a conversation between a father and a son, like the feel of it, the fact that someone back in the late 1800s, early 1900s was putting away his man's hat and writing something so beautifully rhymed with the message in it. It speaks. It touches.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of the all-time great poems of English literature. This is by Rudyard Kipling, and it's called If, and probably one of his most famous poems. And it goes a little bit like this. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet the triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve you long turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you, except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, not lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute, the 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. End poem.
Great read.
Okay, when was he, what was his era? When was he alive?
He was, I think he was passed away in the 1930s. He did. 1865 he was born, Rudyard Kipling, and passed away in 1936, just before World War II. Yeah.
So he was alive with Lewis Carroll and...
Yeah, he was. And look, a brilliant poem of his time, Hatter. And as Jeb said, there's quite a reflective poem, you know, that one. And a philosophical poem, but beautiful poem, easy to read, which I always like.
Yeah.
So.
I also think it's one for the time period that it was written, and it's still so relevant now in its message.
I agree.
That's
completely.
Really saying.
I agree.
Yeah, is there a date on the poem, on the actual poem? Is there a date on the actual poem?
No, there's not.
What?
But it's going to be about 1900.
Like to know,
meantime.
Because I'd like to know. Yeah.
1895.
Okay.
There you go. I'd say 95.
Yeah, it makes a difference. It's pre-World War One or pre-Depression. Sort of important. So it's the Pollyanna.
It says it's an example of Victorian era
Victorian era. Yeah.
And he wrote
Queen
it
Victoria
as a tribute
in Britain.
To Xander Starr Jameson. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
I call it the Pollyanna.
I have. In the meantime, you've been listening to that poem. I think sweet. Were you, or did you miss it?
Sweet.
Hello, sweet.
No, I definitely heard it, and I think it's
you definitely heard
brilliant.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
I
definitely heard it. And I think that, you know, he's a few years, 20 or 30 years after the Civil War, you know, it's his period of growing up.
Yes,
and,
correct.
You know, I think that when you're dealing with all of that aftermath and the shift of the country, yet you're also developing the Western United States and what's going on there, and you're talking about Indian Wars and all of that. So I think when you're talking about his lifetime, he's watching the United States really evolve from a state of accepting humans as humans, all humans as humans, but still seeing a lot of, you know, we're still massacring Indians. We're still trying to accept, you know, all men as men. I think there was so much going on to say to your son, regardless of what's going on, if you do this, if you hold your integrity and hold your head high, regardless of what people say around you, you treat humans as humans.
Yes.
You will go far, son. So I think in that pool of that time of the century, I think that was just a magnificent thing to teach your son as the world moves forward and men are men. I really found that to be a key thing to say, especially in that time of our history.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, agreed, Sweat. Now, I have seen that you have put a poem on the board, so I have put it up on the main board. Sweet, because I'm assuming, you know, I'm not sure. Sometimes you have some time, sometimes you don't. But I've put it up there anyway, so it's ready for you to read.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Kaleidoscope, my Kaleidoscope happy. Gasping for breath in the shallow depths of unkept vomiting, the remorse is diseased in the coldness of your lust, sickened by the putrid smell of gangrene, protruding from golden rings, binding you to fantasy. Framed in a picture of desperation, wallowed in insecurity, battered glass shards pierced through the rainbow shade, and my kaleidoscope happy. I lie awake in the realms of childhood dreams, teaching fairy tale endings become reality.
Interesting. Framed in a picture of desperation, swaddled in insecurity. Gee, that'd be a nappy and a half, wouldn't it, really? Thinking about babies. Shattered, and you wouldn't want shattered glass shards piercing. I'm Isla, to that record. So it's got some edges to it. Sweet. Deb, what did you think of this poem by Sweet?
Well, I think it's an amazing brevity. It speaks really, really well to that art. I remember how excited you were over that art, Sweet. And I like the same part that AP was just quoting, but I like how it goes into the shards that pierce through the rainbow shades of my kaleidoscope happy. It's like it pierced your colors. It cramped your style. It killed your mood. And I lay awake in the realm of childhood dreams, beseeching fairy tale endings to become realities. That ending there is so potent. Like, you just want better, different. You want that fairy tale. Send it my way. I thought this was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Great comment. And Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah, she was written for the contest Love, Pain, and Poetry, in that order, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very...
Yes.
It's sort of a soured description of heartache, you know? Kaleidoscope Pappy. You know that's what's wrong.
I think it's a really interesting thought. I love kaleidoscopes. I didn't... The kaleidoscope first patented in 1817, but it had actually been around as an idea for about 250 years before that. And it, of course, was the Italians who were fiddling around with it. And apparently there's a planting book, Mr. Bradley's New Improvements in Planting and Gardening in 1717, that featured a kaleidoscope. So there you go. It's been around as a thing for a while.
I love kaleidoscopes.
So,
yeah, didn't it sort of come from observing small sea creatures?
Good question.
Somebody noticed, like, hey.
Yeah, I think it was an Italian who first noticed it back in as a naturalistic back in the 1550s. So it's been wandering around a while, but it wasn't until the 1817 that a Scottish inventor patented the kaleidoscope. Yeah, great word though. I love kaleidoscope. Now, Sweet, are you going to be with us for a little while, or are you going to have to head off into the night?
I'm going to be here for a little bit.
Okie doke. You can do that. So
I can do that for a little bit.
I am. Okay. Cool. I am going to get out of the all the stuff about kaleidoscopes because that was kind of fun, but we do need to move on. And
I sort of want to know his name.
Who? Hatter?
Who first marketed for sale a kaleidoscope?
It was invented
Scottish
by
inventor
the
David Brewster. David Brewster. July 10th, 1870 was the, according to the good work people at Wikipedia, was the first person to get a patent.
The best thing that's happened in July, huh?
There you go. There you go. Now, I might do, Deb, I might do the other classic comp, because this was the one that I selected. And I'm going through a bit of a Henry Lawson phase at the minute, so everybody has to put up with that. I know, you know, one of those things. But I really like Henry Lawson. The more I read of him, the more I get impressed. So this is the Teams, the Henry Lawson. And it goes a little bit like this. A cloud of dust on the long white road, and the Teams go creeping on, inch by inch with the weary load, and by the power of the green hired goad, the distant goal is won. With eyes half shut to the blinding dust, and next to the yoke spent low, the beasts are pulling as bullocks must, and the shining tyres might almost rust, while the spokes are turning slow. Face half hid neath the broad-brimmed hat that shades from the Hicks white waves, and shouldered whip with its green hide flap, the driver plods with a gait like that of his weary, patient slaves. He wipes his brow, for the day is hot, and spits to the left with spite. He shouts at Valley and flicks at Scott, and raises dust from the back of Spot, and spits to the dusty right. He'll sometimes pause as a thing of form in front of a settler's door, and ask for a drink and remark it's warm, or say there's signs of thunderstorm. But he seldom utters more. But the rains are heavy on roads like these, and fronting his lonely home, for which together the settler sees the Teams bog down to the axle trees while ploughing the southern loam. And then when the roads are at their worst, the bushman's children hear the cruel blows of the rips reversed, while bullocks pull as their hearts would burst and bellow with pain and fear. And thus, with joy or rest, are the long, long journeys done. And thus, is a cruel war at the best, is distant fought in the mighty west, and the lonely battle's won. End poem. So, that's a fun.
I didn't notice it before. I don't know if I noticed it before, but he has that limerick structure. He doesn't have the cadence.
He used the limerick structure.
Yes, he did. Yeah, a little bit.
He did have it. Sometimes Banjo did too, by the way. They
Okay.
Went to that sort of like five-line limerick structure.
I thought bollocks was sort of a curse word. No?
But I did understand. These are actually bullocks. These are actually big bloody cows pulling freight.
If you have a look at the picture up the top.
It's got these big sort of cows that basically are sitting in a great big line, and they're pulling bloody great big loads of luggage. These were the sort of V double semi trailers of their time, bloody lot slower though.
Yeah, I like the use of axle trees. You know what that is? The team's bogged down to the axle trees.
Yeah. Cool. So, but very neat pomp. And I, as I said, going through a Henry Lawson thing at the minute, so I can't help myself. I just love his work, and just beautiful stuff. Anyway, I am now going back to the board, and I am going to grab Laurent's poem, who is a big supporter of the show. So thank you, Laurent. Always manages to find one of his pieces to put on the board. So I am going to put that up on the board now and read it, and it's up on the board now, and it's called Hi, Shayla. And it goes a little bit like this. Hi, Shayla. Hi, Brash. Hi, Rash. Hi, hi. Tis a new summer that is near. When the pixies roam as rovers, when a rainbow shone, no fear, betwixt lively winds and clovers. Hi, Shayla. Hi, Brash. Hi, Rash. Hi, hi. Thou scores as blossom from the rain, leading the wind blowing forth, as the new blooms sprout fain along the wrought fields north. Hi, Shayla. Hi, Brash. Hi, Rash. Hi, hi. In a harvest of the early morn, when the dun reapers strode amidst teeming rows of corn, o'er the lea that was my abode. Hi, Shayla, hi, Brash, hi, Rash, hi, hi. Across the tall grass foreseen, where coochies dwell wistfully, along corries near the boreen, amongst the screeches wistfully. Hi, Shayla, hi, Brash, hi, Rash, hi, hi. With childer weaned anew, abreast the barns by the knoll, in shanties full of drops of dew, with a pretty colleen stroll. Hi, Shayla, hi, Brash, hi, Rash, hi, hi. Thus the raids wend free upon the wetlands that pry, when the moon glows glee as the pixies straightway fly. Hi, Shayla, hi, Brash, hi, Rash, hi, hi. Beside the heather, in a steady owl on a bough, amidst the brazen weather, when the clovers oft sough. Hi, Shayla, hi, Brash, hi, Rash, hi, hi. Tis a time to slumber anon with lullabies from mothers who soothe hearts thereon within the eyes of brothers. Hi, Shayla, hi, Brash, hi, Rash, hi, hi. Across the Irish marsh. End poem. Deb, that was fun. Deb, what did you think of that one?
You know, it reads like a song. I almost feel like the centerpieces are like the chorus lines, and it pulls us along.
Yes.
Across the tall green grass foreseen, while clutches dwell listfully along corgi near the boreen, amongst the screeches wistfully. Is it Gaelic? I'm not sure. But there was like old world words like the knoll and
yes,
stuff like that. So I think it came out really, really well. But like I said, it reads like it should be sung.
It you're right. It does read like it should be sung. Sweet. What did you think of this one by our friend L'Oreal?
Oh, it's a beautiful light that rolls you into the land of imps and fairies and all the good and naughty things of Ireland.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? I do love the use of the old language and the descriptions. It's kind of fun. Thank you. And Hatter, what did you think of this piece?
What's the translation? Hi, Shayla. Hi, Brash. I got hi. That's hurry, hurry. Hi, Rash. Hi, Brash.
Let's have a look.
Hi, Shayla.
Down the bottom.
One's capital,
pretty decent.
One's capitalized.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shayla's capitalized. It's probably
the chorus.
Name, I'm sure.
The chorus, Adam?
I don't see the...
Yeah, I'm just having a look now. I imagine as in hurry. Yeah, so hurry.
I love the way it's put together, though. It's very well done.
Brash is bold. So hurry, bold. Where's Shayla? Can't see Shayla. That's a shame. So high is hurry, and up as below, Brash is bold. But I can't see Shayla and Brash. Anyway,
it's capitalized. So it's got to be a proper pronoun.
Yes.
And He's talking to her.
Right.
Yeah, calling her. They're very good.
What's that?
We have a poet amongst
it
us.
It is. Yeah, no. Well, Shayla is a girl's name, so it's probably it's the name of a lady, Patter. So hurry, Shayla.
Yeah.
Hurry, Bottle.
Yeah, and I agree with Deb. I agree with Deborah. It sounds like a folk song type of thing.
Yeah, and no, I agree. I think it's probably, if I knew a tune to it, I think it probably is a song. So, okay, we're moving on, and I have, there you go, I got it right. Thank you, Florian. It is a female name, Irish female name. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting it up there. So we got there eventually, but thank you. Okie doke, I have now got Jenny the Deep. And Florian says it's inspired by Irish folklore. And it does feel that way, I have to say. Okie doke, this is Jenny the Deep. Oh. A bad crib hand dealt. And it goes a little bit like this. Nothing in his crib, getting stunk by kids. The laughter turns to tears, his eyes wide with fears. Cards come crashing down as wrists make a pound, hitting and cussing, an old man's fussing. A $2 bet makes his forehead sweat. Only one can win, but will it be him? He's tapping his feet and grinding his teeth. Another round is dealt, the pressure is felt. Taught his kids the game. Now he's put to shame. In poem. Felt that before. Sweet. What did you think of the bad hand dealt?
Can you come back to me? I'm nothing with Amadeus.
Of course you can. Of course you can. You're very, very happy for you to be dealing with Amadeus. Deb, what did you think of that poem by Jenny the Deep?
Well, for starters, the title, excuse me, the title intrigued me. A bad crib hand dealt. Nothing in his crib, getting dunked by kids, lanterns turn to tears, his eyes wide with fears. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but when I saw crib, it's either a crib for a child or a crib, what your place you live type of thing, you know? He's tapping his feet and grinding his teeth. Another round is dealt. The pressure is felt. It's like a... they're commentating on the hand as it goes, and the cards crash down, and it's a $2 bet. It reads like a what are you commentating? Like you're like when you do the Melbourne Cup, I can't think of the word. You're watching it and you're giving us the blow by blow. It sort of feels like that.
Yes. I get that. Absolutely. Hannah, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes. I remember teaching my littlest brother the games, and he'd end up winning them all the time. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then my parents would let us kids sit in on a pinochle night when somebody was taking a break or something, but Willie wouldn't let us sit down and play.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Sweet, have you had a chance to...
Yes. It reminds me of my grandmother, because my grandmother taught me how to play cards. My grandmother taught me how to play ginge and rummy and spades. And my grandmother never, ever let you play or gave you a turn or made kisses. If you're going to play cards, you're going to play cards, and you're going to play cards right. And I'm not going to give you any inch of any kind of sweetness, because someday you're going to play cards, you're going to play cards, and you're going to play cards at poker level. And my girl's always going to win. So there's nothing about getting skunked by kids, because you played hard, you played right. So if you're ever going to sit next to me, across from me, playing poker, I'm going to know how to play, and I'm going to know how to read your give, your tell. So I like this because there's never, ever any love towards children if you were going to play cards with my grandma. So
No.
It's all care and love and cards.
Is what you're saying.
Yes, that's right. So cut my teeth on a woman that taught me how to play cards. So the old man is fussing and cussing.
Yes.
That's a good thing, because somebody taught those kids how to play cards right. There will no sweetness
properly
when you play a card. But there you go. I like it.
There you go.
I just took the game. Now he's put to shame. That's the way you should teach
him
to play cards.
No. Agreed. You're going to teach him to play cards, teach him to play properly, and there's nobody skimping. You do it properly. You win or you lose. Okie doke. Now, I've got one more poem by Heavenly Angel. But before I do that, Deb, did you want to talk about all the things that are coming up on A Team of Voices this week? Because this is our last poem.
Well, why don't we go over to Sweet for tomorrow, and I'll look for the other dates.
Oh,
all right.
Wait, did you say a few words about tomorrow's show?
Yeah, tomorrow night is super interesting and super mayhem, murder and mayhem, with couples that get together. Somehow the magnitude of the earth says these two people should come together and be the more horrific killers in our history. Jay has put together some little doozies. Come on by, get some history, and Murder and Mayhem is not about the gore or anything, but more about the psychological aspect of what happens. And it's quite interesting. The shows are amazing. Come by, read about them. It's a lot of great talk, a lot of interesting talk. And if you enjoy any kind of crime history or mystery, it is a fabulous show to be on. It's one of my favorite shows that I'm a part of, and JCA is got his facts down. He knows what he's talking about, and it is a fabulous, fabulous show. So stop by. I cannot say enough about this show.
There you go. And we've got five couples there for you to investigate and have a think about and do some poeticizing on this week.
Yes.
So, always an interesting show and always one that gets you thinking. So that is tomorrow. Deb, I'm going back to you now for the rest of the week.
Awesome. On my show on Monday at 10, we are featuring an artist that Sweet Pea introduced me to, Laura Zombie. She's got some really cool art. I put a whole bunch of it on the board. Take your pick and show me what it says to you. Again, that's 10 p.m. And then on Tuesday, Sky will be doing a D&D show, which is Dungeons and Dragons, and this one's called The Warlock, which I believe is a class of people in that. So she's got all kinds of choices for everyone. And then she'll be back again on Wednesday night. And I think that might finish up her Star Wars. And this one is The Rise of Skywalker. That one, she also has some choices. You can do quotes or characters or anything that has to do with the movie. And then, Sweet, are you off to family function?
I am off the next couple of weeks. I'm getting ready to and running away for a family wedding in Arizona.
Okay, so we are off on Thursday night. And then on Friday night at 9, it's Hatter's time slot. So keep an eye out for his decision. And he'll put up a topic board. Did you have anything in mind, Hatter?
I was thinking sort of like the man cave type of thing, just weird things happening, reasons why, and things you might not know.
Okay, well, we'll need to come up with a new title for your show, so we'll talk about that. And then that brings us back to hang out with you next Saturday, AP, 9 p.m.
Back to the open poetry slot in a week's time. So, meantime... we have a final poem on the board by Heavenly Angel, which I threw up there. I think I did. I might have been wrong. I could have been thinking, no, I am good. I've got it up there. This is called Just Call Me Sexy by Heavenly Angel. It goes a little bit like this. I try to look my best, you know, a feather in my hat, a yellow plaid dress with matching knickers. Yes, I primp every morning. Then my grandson says, throwing a monkey wrench into my ego, Grandma, when you walk, you sound like a bowl of Rice Krispies cereal. Snap, crackle, pop. And Grandma, your skin is dry, wrinkly, and you smell like a circus animal. Now the kid. I blame the smell on the cabbage I ate, so don't be in a hurry to bury me, young man. I may not have the moves, my knees may be plastic, and I found a few pounds. But I'm still sexy. Sweet, can you relate to this?
I hate to say no, because...
No.
No, because this is what my grandson did to me. I was walking through
right.
the store with my beautiful... Well, I was walking through the store with my beautiful grandson, and he stops in the middle of the store, and he goes, Gigi, those are your pants. Those are Gigi pants. And I turn around, and he picks out these very hot pink leather pants. And I went, those are Gigi pants. Gigi pants. And I'm like, well, what about these nice, soft lilac cotton pants? He goes, oh, no, those are Gigi pants. And he insists that Gigi buy hot pink leather pants. So maybe not.
Maybe not.
He definitely snap, crackle, and pop because I hurt in the morning. But my grandson thinks I should be on hot pink pants.
Well, so good to see that your grandson is being overt in terms of his views of the world, and that's a positive thing, Sweet, I think. So I'd go with that. Deb, what did you think of Heavenly Angel Space?
You know, I giggled when I saw the photo prompt there.
Yes.
I giggled when she was finished with her poem, too. And I love, I may not have the moves, my knees may be plastic, and I found an few new pounds, but I'm still sexy.
Yes.
It just struck me funny. She did a really cute job with it.
Yeah, I agree.
And on another note, I did receive the other email that we discussed at the beginning.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Well, we've got another poem. Yes.
Yes, and thank you, Addie.
Thank you, sir. And Hannah. Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah, I used to snap, crackle, and pop about my new equipment. Doesn't plus I don't have the stairs like I used to, so I can relate to this. You just got to remind the kids that this is all coming for you. So don't make too much fun of it.
Well, yeah, a fair way away, I hope. So anyway, there you go. Okie doke. So thanks to Addie for giving us permission to read your poem. And this one is called Silent Voice, and it goes a little bit like this. I know I'm not good, but don't say anything as I'm not made of wood. I'm doing my best to be the hardest, so don't compare me with the rest. When I sit alone and see the sky, I don't know why I have these tears in my eye. I carry a burden, dreams I dare to seek, thinking about the future in the nature. Just want to fly high like the bird in the sky. End poem. There you go. That's kind of fun. Hannah, what did you think of that piece?
I liked it. Just to write, it's a small, a short piece that speaks loudly. When I sit alone and see the sky.
Yep.
Beautifully done.
Yeah, no, there you go. There you go. And Sweet, what did you think? I've got plenty of ways to embarrass you yet, Sweet. We've got heaps of time in the show.
Oh, that's why I adore you. I'm doing my best to be the hardest, so don't compare me with the rest.
Yeah.
I carry a burden silent and bleak. Just want to fly high like a bird. It's like this very tough exterior that we show sometimes. But in the silence of our own depth, we're the softest we can be. But don't tell me that, because all I'll give you is the hard exterior of me. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's nice piece of insight, especially from a young poet. I really liked it. And Deb, what did you think?
I thought it was a cool brevity. I'm wondering. I know I'm not good, but don't say anything, as I'm not made of wood. It's sort of like I know I'm not good. I think it was very good, so I beg to differ with the opening line. But I like how it's telling you right up front, you know, but don't say anything bad because it'll hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I'm not made of wood. So I thought it said a whole lot in just a few words. It was an awesome show.
Yeah, great. Yeah, great. There's a brevity. And I think I only got 3 poems up at the minute. And so, you know, to have one out and have it read and to, you know, make sense of it, I think it's a great thing. So well done. So we've finished, Deb. We've finished. We finished the show. And we've done what's coming up. So my thanks to Deb and Hatter and Sweet. And to all those people who put poems up on the board, much appreciated. And we will be back with more open poetry next week. In the meantime, have a great week. And I'm going out with Ice House, but not the one that everybody knows. I'm going out with Man of Colours because it's a fun song. And thank you, everybody, and we will see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Night, AP. Have a good night. Have a good night. Have a week. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Sweet. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Hatter. We'll talk very soon.
Guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Love you, guys.
Back.
Am I playing it? I think I am. Yes, I am. Oh, it's going now.
And he says, I